Thank you. I'm not doing it right. So I have no disclosures at this point to disclose. Sorry, it's not working for me. Okay, there it is. I would like to thank my fellow colleagues, Erica Weiss, Natalie Haskins, Allison Harvey, and Marnie Amselin, who contributed to both survey development, promotion, and then data analysis. Funding for this survey and the ensuing program was received through a charitable contribution from Mentor Corporation. So a little bit about my organization. I'm not from an academic institution. A cancer support community was formed 2 years ago by the merger of Gilda's Club and the Wellness Community. And we provide social and emotional support to people impacted by cancer through a variety of means. The most familiar to the majority of people is our affiliate network. So we have over 50 brick and mortar sites throughout the country where people impacted by cancer can go for a whole range of psychosocial services, including patient education. We also offer services at the headquarters level, which is where I'm located, and we're able to, really our goals are to empower with knowledge, strengthen by action, and sustain through the community. One of the pieces in our mission is educating. So we have a line of patient education materials called Frankly Speaking About Cancer. The program is, I think we have 12 different print pieces, and we focus on not only tumor type information, but also a variety of concerns that are faced by cancer patients. The materials are available free of charge through print publications. We do patient education workshops at our affiliates and hospitals and cancer centers, as well as we do online webinars and informational sessions and have content as well. So the whole reason behind doing the survey was to identify first if there was a need. So we've looked at what has worked for our other programs and went with social cognitive theory. And what we wanted to find out was information about the patient experience of breast reconstruction. I mean, we understand the medical piece of it because there's the surgical side, but what goes into the decision making? What are the factors that influence this? How is information found? You know, information seeking is very different sort of in the screening phase and then once a woman's been diagnosed, and then where do they get that information? So the survey itself was available through our affiliate network in pen and paper, and then it was available online to anybody who was eligible. And eligibility was a woman diagnosed with breast cancer. Didn't matter what stage, didn't matter whether or not she was in or out of treatment. We have a cancer survivorship registry, so we recruited women through that as well. We also, in pulling together the program to develop it, brought together several other advocacy partners on the piece. They also recruited for us. And then, you know, the social media, email, and flyers as well. The study was open from the 14th of June to the 20th of August. And, well, that's important. I'll get to that. But, I mean, we ended up with an N of 840. So it was a pretty successful opportunity to pull in data. What the things we collected were demographics, cancer history, decision experiences, communicating with a healthcare team about reconstruction. We really wanted to understand where and when reconstruction was discussed with the patient. And then we can work backwards into creating some patient education materials. So as I said, we had an N of 840. Most of our respondents were Caucasian. We had a mean age of under 50. So for us, that pretty much signaled that there were going to be a lot more women diagnosed at an early stage. 99% had health insurance, 28% were in treatment, and much as similar to the treatment patterns in this country, 30% at a comprehensive cancer center and the remainder externally, either in an oncology practice or in a community hospital. And almost 70% had had a full mastectomy or a partial mastectomy. So when we look at who answered the survey, obviously, we ended up getting a lot of women who had been eligible for reconstruction. So we ended up with the majority of our respondents between stage 0 and stage 2. So we wanted to know who talked to them about reconstruction. Where did this happen? This, you know, if we're going to plan an intervention, we need to really understand where. So the majority of the women reported that regardless of what their decision was, ultimately with reconstruction, that it was either the plastic surgeon or the breast surgeon. So that's where they were getting their information. We had originally thought that it was at the oncologist's office, you know, as part of the package, particularly with a lot of the navigation programs that are going on, that here was an opportunity that we where we would see it, but it's not. And the same goes for the, you know, with the other pieces. There was no, you know, supportive care, navigators, health educators, didn't really see any of that. So what we found was that 57% talked to their doctors about reconstruction at diagnosis, but that leaves over 40% that aren't getting that information. And whether or not a woman chooses reconstruction, we don't have an opinion one way or the other, but it's about knowing your options, because that could impact your treatment. What do you want later down the line, and what do you want to know about it? What do you need to know to make a decision? So we started taking that and thinking, how do we go out beyond that? And so what we wanted to do was figure out, for that other 43% also, where, if they're not getting the information at the time of diagnosis at the surgeons, where are they getting it? So we saw that the highest was breast cancer patients and survivors, and then through the internet. We did do some additional, we had an open-ended piece for the internet, and everybody's favorite resource most of the time is Google. That's where they find their information. So we figured we can step back, harness our affiliate network, and then really be able to reach patients where they're actually going for the information. The other things we wanted to know, what do we want to put in the book? What do we want to create this program? What's important for people to know? And regardless of how people responded, what treatment decision they ended up having, people wanted to know really validly, how would they feel? What were the side effects? How would they look? That was really the most important piece to them. And that's, you know, we did an environmental scan. There are not a lot of resources out there that give you pictures or straightforward. There's some great internet resources. Breastcancer.org has a nice site. Force has some great stuff. But it was in the way we do it, in framing it, to really be empowered and have that conversation with their physician. And then what we really find is that, you know, the results offer this unique insight into the aspects of reconstruction from the perspective of women with breast cancer. So while many reported satisfaction with the information, the responses really suggested that there's work to be done about establishing realistic expectations about the procedures and outcomes. And so, as a result, we did develop this program, launched it last winter, and this is our piece. You can order a copy. I brought some order forms there in the back off of our website, as well as we're running workshops throughout the country now and are able to promote it. One of the interesting things, which isn't on here, but is that we've done some analysis based on, you know, who's ordering the books. And plastic, I mean, we've got plastic surgeons' offices. This is what a lot of them are using for their teaching tools. I've been to some of the workshops, and that's what they want to, that's what they're using, because it explains things step by step. We've got a nice table of who's eligible for what type of surgery, and so it's pretty straightforward, and we were pretty pleased with the program.